Blog Talk Radio.
John L. Brown, author and filmmaker, native of Lake Charles, Louisiana, is taking his expose on race relations in America, Mentally Blind, Open Your Eyes, to another level by doing a documentary entitled The Mentally Blind in America. The documentary will open the viewer's eyes to homelessness, poverty, hunger, the real rules of the criminal justice system, and other poverty-related issues that challenge underemployed, unemployed, and homeless people in American post-recession. The Mentally Blind in America, a documentary, will enlighten people of color and people in poverty on how to restore their credit rating and expunge their criminal records. The Mentally Blind in America, a documentary coming this fall. Real people, real stories. The Mentally Blind, Open Your Eyes, a documentary on race, poverty, the recession's aftermath, and more. Follow our post on Facebook's The Mentally Blind in America. The Mentally Blind in America.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the talk show, Uplifting Communities, with John and Miss J. Oh, but let me tell you, we got an exciting guest for you guys today, and he's from Zenoba Records. All right, Zenoba Records. And I tell you, this is going to be a great show. But before we get started, I'm going to ask Miss J if she would mind, she wouldn't mind taking the pleasure of bringing our guest on.
Absolutely. First of all, good afternoon, and thank you, everyone, for joining us. We really appreciate it. Our guest today is Ray Brown, DJ Black Rabbit. He's been DJing for over 10 years. He's originated from Philly, but he resides in Los Angeles. And what's great about him is that even though he does a lot of great things, which I'm going to allow him to tell you about in a minute, he also takes up time for his community. But before we get started about what he does for the community, Ray, tell me a little bit about you and some of the things that you've done with you musically.
Yeah, so number one, thank you guys for having me on the show. I appreciate you guys reaching out and everything like that. But like you said, I go by Ray, DJ Black Rabbit. My tagline is your favorite DJ's favorite DJ. That's what I like to say. musically, I'm a mix of hip hop, funk, jazz, and soul. That's like if when you come out to hear me, that's what you'll hear in my sets. Like you said, I'm originally from Philadelphia. I was born and raised there. My wife and I recently just moved out to Los Angeles for me to kind of pursue DJing on a full-time level. So that's just kind of, you know, what we've been doing so far. And it's been going great so far. I've been full-time as a DJ about 7-8 months now. Doing it, you know, part-time for a while before that. But that's where we're at right now.
That's pretty awesome. One of the things I saw that you did mixtapes or mixed music for workout, for fitness, and I think that's pretty cool too.
Yeah, I got into that more when we moved to LA. Shout out to Ben Allen and the crew at Groove 3. They're a hip hop choreography class that goes along in LA and Hollywood and the surrounding towns and cities. And basically, you learn a choreographed routine every class while I mix hip hop music behind that. So I kind of got into that more, and when I did that, started doing more of the mixtapes for people to dance to and to work out to as well. So that's been great. I love that whole community.
Yeah, I think that's pretty cool. Yeah.
Yes, it is. Well, so let me ask you a question. You teach people how to dance?
I don't.
Is that what you do?
I work for the people who teach people how to dance. You do not want me to teach you how to dance. That will not. But
oh, I guess you
know
dance like I do. Got two left foot.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, and also I see you signed with a record label called Zenoba Records, owned by Ms. Sean Bowen.
Correct.
Tell me something. How is it working with Ms. Sean, and how you like being signed with them?
Oh, it's it's been great. I want to tell you a quick story on how we met because it was just the randomest thing. Me and Sean actually met through Craigslist, which is random. There was a gig for an artist that she was working with, and we got together, and we kind of just kept working with each other on and off for, like, the next couple of months, going back and forth. And we kind of grew the business relationship from that. And after a while, we decided to just, you know, start working with each other. I have worked with other people in the city. And, you know, as people will tell you, L.A. is, you know, L.A. can eat you up, spit you out backwards. And I kind of went through that a little bit. And working with Sean has been almost like a 180 from those people I was working with. Just someone who really cares about me, is behind my music, and it's about my future and not just after a dollar. So that's the biggest thing I always look for in representation of myself and my music. So it's been a blessing, really. So definitely.
Yeah, character. She has a lot of character. Great work ethics, and just good character. I told her
definitely.
That personally. So, yeah, absolutely. You know, indie music is growing a lot. It really is growing. And I'm glad that she has a DJ because DJs is where it all began. You know, before they were DVDs and all this other stuff, you know, anybody could be a DJ now. You can pretty much, I guess, buy it on Google or whatever. But back in the day, you really had to know how to spin and make that music talk, you know. And I'm glad that they're still trying to keep that alive because that is very much needed. Just in music, period.
Yep, and that's the school of thought of DJing that I come from. My dad, he wasn't a DJ. He was, I guess you would call him the guy that just had the music. He wasn't a DJ per se, though. So I kind of got my love and start and my fascination with vinyl and turntables from him, and I kind of just spawned my whole music and DJ career from there. But, yeah, I'm from that same school of thought. You know, if you're not mixing – if you're not teaching, if you're not breaking new records to people, I mean, I really feel you're not really DJing. So that's just how I feel
absolutely.
About it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know what amazed me about DJs, and especially one of those or DJs like yourself, is that that equipment you guys got. Gosh. I mean, you know, look like it takes a genius to work that equipment.
It's a lot simpler than it looks. I promise you that. It's a lot simpler than it looks. DJing, I always like to tell people, is easy to do, but hard/impossible to master. Like, anyone can set up the equipment, anyone can hit play and let the music play, but to really get a hold of knowing the music and knowing your crowd and knowing where you can push the crowd and where you can take them, you know, it takes a lot of experience and time. And it's, you know, it's consistently learning. You never get there. You're always, you know, learning something new. So.
Mm-hmm. So do you have any special culture or that you play for? You play for all cultures?
Yeah, I went to Kutztown University, which is a small state school in Pennsylvania, and it was near a city called Reading, Pennsylvania, and they had a big Latino population. So starting my DJ career, I had to learn how to play Spanish music, salsa, bachata, merengue. I came from a hip-hop, jazz, soul, funk background, so I kind of had that down. DJing at a college, you know, you have a mix of all types of people from everywhere. So you have to know your pop. I've done wedding for Indian people with like belly dancers. So it's just over my career, I've had to do different gigs and venues for so many different people. I've had to study different genres of music. So I'm really all over the place. There's nothing I wouldn't be willing to try if I haven't already done it already. So.
Mm-hmm. And I see you make beats and things like that. Do you make beats for other people?
Yeah. that started in college. I make beats primarily on like the kind of like the old school hip hop way, sampling different pieces of vinyl and making that into hip hop production. So I do it for a couple of rappers here and there, and also for just myself. It's just an enjoyable thing to do.
Now, when you talk about, you know, we were talking about some of the things you do for the community, and you you share some of the events that you participated in. So I would think it's a good idea. Let's talk about some of those things, and if you have anything community related coming up as well, because this show is about uplifting community. So we don't want anybody to think we talk about music, but we love indie artists,
sure.
So we try to support them if they're doing something positive. So. But let's talk about some of the involvements that you are involved with, some of the things you've done. And one of the things I found really interesting was the Hip Hop for Hades, Hades release.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and how did you get involved with that? Because that was really a big deal, and it's such a good cause. Okay, let's talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, so this is, again, going back to my time in college. Being in music and DJing and working with rappers and things like that, I had a pretty good community of fellow musicians that, you know, I regularly spoke with a lot. And, you know, some of my good friends. At that time when the crisis in Haiti was happening, we decided that we all wanted to do something. And we were like, you know, what can we do to support, you know, what's going on? And we decided to actually throw a concert, and we were, you know, try to use all the money that we had to benefit the people that were affected in Haiti. So we had the rappers, we had DJs, we had a whole production team, we had a run of t-shirts that we did, and it was a huge success. We had half the campus involved in running it, and that came out to the event. And I was part of the planning committee for the actual event as well as performing in it as well. But that may have been like one of the biggest things I've personally been a part of to help, just to outreach and help someone else. It was just an amazing feeling. I still have the t-shirt and I look at it every now and then. I'm just like, you know, that was just a great time in my life. My wife was involved with that as well, because we met in college as well. But yeah, it was a great time.
Yeah, I think that was like that. I think a lot of times we take for granted, not even, I would say subconsciously, not even really knowing it, how good we really have it, you know. And then when you are working with other other groups of people that are not as fortunate, you really realize sometimes we need to be more grateful for what we have and less worried about what we don't have.
Yeah, yep.
That's right.
I agree completely, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, I wanted to let the audience know that if you want to join in, please press 1, and I would definitely let you in, okay? Man, I really appreciate you coming on this show, because you shared a whole lot, you know, in this, with
you
your music and things like that. Now, let's say, for example, if somebody were, I know, you know, the show is about uplifting communities, you know, and we're going to go in and out with that, okay? But I like what you're doing, so I'm going to ask you some questions on that.
Also,
let's say if somebody needs you to go to New York and DJ for them, do you do that?
I sure do. About a year ago, my wife and I went to Miami for a client that wanted me to play down there for his it was a surprise for the actual client. So the wife of the client got us to fly out to do it. So we work anywhere in the world. As we were talking about earlier, I'm actually going to Japan to play in February as well. So anywhere, literally in the world, I play. So that's never an issue.
Wow, Japan. Mm-hmm. Well, we got
a caller on the line probably want to elaborate on something or ask you a question.
Sure.
Let's let them in.
Definitely.
Okay?
Yeah.
Caller, state your name and where you're calling from.
Tommy Cole, Lake Charles, Louisiana.
Hey, Tommy.
What's up, Tommy?
Hey, what's going on? How y'all doing?
Wonderful.
We fine.
How about yourself?
Great, great. Happy New Year to you, John and Jay. Been a while there, but I'm back with you guys. And congratulations, young man. Hey, I got a couple questions for you there, sir.
Sure.
From your travel from the East Coast to the West Coast there, had you stopped in between there to trying to live in other areas, or it was just a straight jump from the East Coast to the West Coast? You know where you headed?
Yeah, it was pretty much a straight jump. Literally, my wife and I packed up. We sold everything that didn't fit into our two cars, and we packed up and drove across the country. So, yeah.
Well, man, you guys took off. Now, who is one of your favorite DJs?
My number one is DJ Jazzy Jeff, hands down.
Oh, cool, man. Cool. Yeah, you're in the mix of things, huh? Right? I DJed back in the 70s, you know, and it was just a club thing. It was just a club thing for me. It wasn't a very professional, you know. I was just doing it part-time for this guy. He owned the club, and he needed someone to play music. I can play music, but we know to be a DJ, it's more than just playing music.
Yeah.
So I salute you on that, man. I compliment you on your travel, man, because it seems like
you
just put everything down on the East Coast and took a chance of going to the West Coast and didn't know what it was going to look like or be like.
That's exactly what happened. We actually didn't have a place to live for the first week that we got here. We did Airbnb for a week, and literally we're running out of money as time was coming, looking for a place, couldn't find anything that was affordable, couldn't find anything. And the last day, like before, you know, we ran out of money and I had to go back to work, we found a place. So we didn't know what was going to happen next. And it was probably the most exciting / scary part of my life. But I wouldn't trade it for anything. It was an amazing time that I'm still going through, but I love every bit of it.
Hey, congratulations, man. That was a big jump. You know, big jump.
Yes, it was. You know, Miss J talks about that a lot. It's about fear.
Yeah.
You know, and fear can hinder you. You know, I think that's just me personally. I think that happens to a lot of people, especially in the communities, in the African-American community. It's fear hindered a lot of people. And thank God that you had, you know, that you overcame that fear and didn't mind taking that chance, because that's the only way you're going to make it. Sometimes you have to take a chance.
Yep.
You know, and it worked out for you.
It did, yeah.
It definitely did.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, when John talked about fear, it hinders you not only in your personal growth, but it just keeps you so, you know, people around you also, you know, especially like your children, you know, they watch you. And if you're living a life of fear, you're scared to take chances, you're scared to, you know, just try, they copycat that. You know, there's a saying that children do, they do what they watch you do more than what you tell them to do, you know. And we pay attention to what our parents do, you know, we may not remember every word, but we remember when she did so-and-so, when this happened or that happened. So I think, you know, like John mentioned, it took a lot of courage, you know, and I think about that too, because I was thinking about, I saw that you did something for racism. And a lot of artists don't want to step out, you know, to be vocal on things of that nature because, you know, they're fearful of how it affects their career. You know, they're more concerned with their paper than their conscience or their community. And so I think it's courageous of you. But tell us a little bit about that, because I think to be a part of something like that, that had to come with a lot of, you know, maybe some backlash, or, you know, how does that affect your career, and how was the event itself?
Yeah, just to give you guys a little bit of history on that event, this is also something that I was involved in at school, at college. And what happened was one of, I don't remember exactly, but one of the clubs in school had, they ran an experiment, and it was a bake sale. And basically they had 5 or 6 different types of cookies, and each cookie represented a race. So there was a black cookie, a Latino cookie, a white cookie, a Asian cookie. And they made each cookie a different price. So let's say the white cookie would be worth $2, and the black one would be worth $1, and maybe the Asian one was worth 25 cents, to see what people, how people would respond to it. Obviously, obviously, it was a crazy time in our school. Obviously there was, you know, reprimands going around, and the issue was that people really took that to heart, saying, you know, like, this cookie in this scenario is worth more than this because of this reason. This one's darker, so it's not as good. Just like things like that. We went through a really rough time with racism on our campus. And because of that, it spawned a whole lot of good things because of that. There was a group that was started on our campus that actually was just made to just spread love and kindness throughout the campus. My wife was a part of it, and eventually I was a part of it as well. And that made us spawn events such as the Race for Racism to just bring awareness to people that that's not something that we stand for. And that's not something that, you know, we're going to let happen on our campus. So I DJed the event. I was a part of the committee for a few years on that event as well. But that's where it came from. That's how I got started.
I can't believe somebody was going to make the big cookies like that. And then how, and to price them, like, man, everybody, yeah. I mean, you had, I mean, that took a lot of racism to do something like that, if you ask me.
Yeah, I know, yeah.
I want to say something, but I'm not allowed to come on this show. But, you know, it's just, I can't believe it. Man, I wish somebody would try to sell me a black cookie. I just find that so offensive.
Yeah.
And the fact that you thought that was cool. You know, the fact that you thought that was cool, I would smash all those black cookies in their face. I am not kidding, y'all. Yep. I'm so sorry in the audience. But I cannot believe somebody would offer
that.
I would be so offended.
Yeah.
But you know, Miss Jade, I think that was a brilliant idea. That way you can see, you know, where people minds at. You know?
Well, I know that.
I mean the difference and the prices, you know.
Yeah, but come on, John, you're gonna give me a black cookie, say my cookie costs 15 cents. I'm like, oh Lord, have mercy, Just play that game.
I think one of all the Asian cookies.
Man, I'm glad you were smart enough to do this. I'm glad you guys had a positive event, because Miss J probably wouldn't have been part of it, but I would have blessed it anyway.
There was a lot of negativity before the positivity.
Yes! I would have to go, you know, bring it down a notch, you know. But I think that's really awesome that you took something so negative, though. I really have to say that you took something so negative and turned to a positive. And that's what really counts. All jokes aside, that really counts. You know, you could have went left, but you didn't. You know, so I really commend you guys, because you thought of something. You know, like you said, you and your wife and the rest of the group, they thought, okay, what can we do to change this? Because racism is real in our country. So it's not a surprise. It's just sometimes it's just so insulting when it's, you know, they think that it's okay to just throw it in your face and there's no repercussion.
Yeah.
You know, you know what I mean? So I just really think, it was really great that you guys did that. And you have been part of some great events, you know, community events and life-changing events. And I think that's really great. And, you know, I can, say keep doing it, you know, because one thing about the indie artists and the indie that I call the indie movement is that the artists, the DJs, they're conscious. A lot of them are really just conscious about community. We've had several other ones on the show as well. And I think it's really great. They're not just doing music to, you know, I know they love it. I know it's their passion. I know it's their dream, but they're conscious about the music they're doing. And with that, they're using that music to do good things. And I think that's awesome. And still make their payment.
Right. We had several people on the show, artists on the show, that's using their music and their talent to uplift the community. They're doing real good in their craft, and also, you know, because of the communities, you know, people see them out there, see what they're doing. And that's why when I saw whereas though you did the Haiti thing, you did the race thing, and it was you did the choreography and things. You're doing a lot in the communities, you know, and people see that, you know. And I said I wanted to reach out. Well, I called Miss Sean Bowman from Zenoba Records, and I asked her if she had an artist with mine coming on the show. So she got back with me and told me that she wanted you to come on the show. She was going to talk to you. And matter of fact, I just want to say thanks a lot to Miss Sean Bowman from the Zenoba Records for doing that.
Yeah. Thanks for hooking it up.
It's really good to see people doing anything in the community. And we always say it doesn't always have to be something big. It's just that if all of us do a little bit of something, a change can come. You know what I mean? And if that, well, no one group has all the answers, not one group has, because it's so many different issues in our community, not one person or not one organization can tackle them. So if we all start tackling them, we're going to have some progress.
Yeah, I agree.
I really appreciate you trying to do something, because you could have said, look, I didn't have a heart. I came from Philly to L.A. The people crazy in L.A., I ain't got time to have nobody, you know. But you didn't do that. You know, you said, you know what? I still got passion. I still believe that I can make a difference. Even though I have my struggle, I'm going to still be open to give of myself. And that's deep, because a lot of times we struggle within and we forget to give out, you know, to give. And then we don't realize how good it feels when we're going through something to give somebody else something, because then we forget about what we're going through. So, you know, just doesn't take much. It's just something. I don't know. If you ain't got nothing to do, start a babysitting club. You know, people can't afford child care, you know, a lot of these different communities. You know, it's so many little things
there's
we can do.
There's plenty to do, yeah.
There's so many things to do.
Okay. Well, you're right, Ms. J, but we only got a minute and I would say 30 seconds left on the show. So I'm going to ask you to close us out.
Well, I guess I'll have to. Well, first of all, thank everybody for joining us. Thank you, Mr. Tommy Cole, for calling in. We appreciate the love. And before we close out, you know, Ray, if you have one positive thing to say to the community and everybody listening, I'm going to give you a few seconds to shout that out and let them know, you know, just something positive.
Yeah. My one thing I want to tell you guys, do not give up. It will get ridiculously hard. People will tell you you can't do it. People that you love will tell you you can't do it. But do not ever give up. When you know what it is that you want to do, just hang on to it and just keep at it, no matter what. That's all I have. But just don't give up, whatever that thing is.
Absolutely. That's enough. That's great. And Mr. John?
First of all, I want to give another shout out to Miss Sean Bowman from Zenoba Records for letting one of her artists come on the show, and I really appreciate that. And Mr. DJ Black Rabbit, look here, man, you're doing
DJ
great,
Black.
Okay? And I wish you have a marvelous time in Japan. And God bless you, brother. You know, walk in
Thank
the spirit
you.
Of God, and you're gonna go. You're gonna you're going to make it, believe me. With that said,
thank you. I appreciate
I'm
going
to turn it over to Ms. J one more last time. We got 10 seconds. Go for it, Ms. J.
Thank you, everybody, for joining us. Thank you, DJ. And in that is, keep pushing. We got this, the movement. I know, John. Uplift the community, though. Have a good evening.
All right.
Good night.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.